Samrityanvito श्री गौरांग कुनानु वर्णन वितो श्रद्धा समृद्ध्यं विंधो कृतनो तनु वृथां गोविंद कन्नामृतां आनंदं बुद्धि वर्धनैक निपनो कैवल्य निस्तकरो वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुयुग श्री जीव गोपालको वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुयुग श्री जीव गोपालको त्यक्त्वा पूर्णमशेषमण्डलपति श्रेणीं सतातु च भा बुध्वादीनकनेशको करुणाया कोऽपि न कन्थार्को भावर समृता बिलहारी कांदोलमग्नु मुहु वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुयुग श्री जीव गोपालको वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुयुग श्री जीव गोपालको जाखोखिल हंस सार सकना किरणे मायूरा कुले नाना रत्न निपाद मूल वितपा श्रीयुक्त वृन्दावने राधा कृष्ण महार्निशं प्रपचतो जीवार्थतो यो मुधा वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुयुग श्री Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Jugo Sri Jiva Gopalako Sankhya Purvaka Namakana Natibi Kanda Vasani Krito Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijito Chatyanta Dino Chajo Radha Krishna Gunasmritir Radha Krishna Gunasmritir Madhurima Nandena Samodito Vande Sanatana Raghu Jugo Sri Jiva Gopalako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Jugo Sri Jiva Gopalako Kunda tate kalinda tanaya tire chapam sivate Premo madhavasada shesha dasaya Grasto pramato sadha Gayanto chakata adya gunavaram Bhava viputo mudha Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Jugo Sri Jiva Gopalako Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Jugo Sri Jiva Gopalako He Radhe Prachate Vakhe Chalalite He Nanda Suno Puta ಶ್ರೀ ಸಾರ್ವತೋ ವ್ರಜ ಪುರೆ ಖೇ ಧರ್ಮ ಆವಿರ್ಭವ ವಂದೇ ರೂಪ ಸನಾತನ ರಘುಯುಗ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲ ವಂದೇ ರೂಪ ಸನಾತನ ರಘುಯುಗ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಸನಾತನ ಗೋಪಾಲ ವಂದೇ ರೂಪ ಸನಾತನ ರಘುಯುಗ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲ ವಂದೇ ರೂಪ ಸನಾತನ ರಘುಯುಗ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲ ವಂದೇ ರೂಪ ಸನಾತನ ರಘುಯುಗ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಸನಾತನ ರಘುಯುಗ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲ
Today, Govind Prabhu has requested me to speak on the subject of the particular holiness of the occasion, the disappearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. For the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, I will make some effort in this regard. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring Bangladesh, he met with a very learned Brahmin of the name Tapan Mishra. This great soul, having studied the scriptures quite thoroughly, meeting many holy men, was very deeply yearning to understand what is the ultimate goal of life and how to achieve it. It was his single-pointed mission, this desire, like fire, consumed his entire consciousness. The world was shallow, empty, and meaningless, without understanding what really is the highest goal of life and how one can achieve that. He went deeper and deeper into his studies, but found so many apparent contradictions and so many differences. And similarly, in his meeting various holy men, he could not come to a conclusion. But the Lord is within one's heart. When one truly yearns to understand the absolute truth, the Paramatma gives us direction. Ishvara. The midst of his great search, he had a dream. There, a very effulgent, transcendent personality appeared before him and told him that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, had incarnated within this world as Nimai Pandit. And he was at the present, near the banks of the Padma River in Bangladesh, teaching many students. Nobody knows the truth of who he is. Go to him, and he will answer all of your questions and fulfill all of your desires. Tapan Mishra met with Lord Chaitanya just at the time he was about to leave Bangladesh to return to Navadvip Dham. He was surrounded by many, many students. Nimai Pandit was such a good teacher that what would take another very highly learned professor 14 years to teach their students, Lord Chaitanya gave them the same mastery over the subject of Sanskrit and grammar in just a couple of months. And there was no greater prestige than having Nimai Pandit as your professor. These students, having been so completely satisfied, they were offering many gifts to the Lord as they were seeing him off. It was on that occasion that Tapan Mishra came before Lord Chaitanya, prostrated his body at his lotus feet with tears in his eyes, in a spirit of complete surrender. In a secluded place, he revealed to the Lord his dream. It was at that time that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave most wonderful instructions through Tapan Mishra to the entire world. It was one of the first times that Lord Chaitanya revealed his true identity and actually preached the glories of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. He told him that the ultimate goal of life that you are searching for is pure, unadulterated, unconditional love for Radha and Krishna. Krishna is the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the source of everything. The fullest realization is to understand Krishna's eternal lila, his eternal pastimes. So one can achieve this goal in this age of Kali only by one means: the chanting of the holy names, The Lord has so mercifully descended in this age within the sound vibration of His name. The name of the Lord possesses all of the opulences of the Lord. I will now give you a mantra. This mantra, 16 words and 32 syllables, is the greatest of all the greatest of all mantras, Maha Mantra. Simply by chanting this mantra, you will attain the ultimate perfection that you are longing for. And there are no hard and fast rules for this chanting of the Maha Mantra. You can chant anywhere, at any time. Now please hear for me, Tapan Mishra, the holiest of all mantras. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is most wonderful. Within the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, this is the first time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally and directly revealed the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because he had not yet taken initiation from Ishwarapuri, therefore he had not yet revealed his true opulence or established the Harinam Sankirtan movement. He ordered Tapan Mishra, "You must not tell anyone what you know today." Tapan Mishra was ready to renounce everything of this world and return to Navadvip Dham with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help him to establish the Sankirtan movement. But Lord Chaitanya gave him a most unusual order. "You go and make your residence in Varanasi." Varanasi was the capital, high seat for the Mayavadi philosophers. There was practically not a single Vaishnav to be found. The names of Krishna were never chanted. Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvam Asi. These were the mantras. I am that. Of course, Vaishnavas understand what it really means is I am of that. But they do not have this complete understanding. It was the place of Prakashananda Saraswati and his tens and thousands of highly learned Mayavadi philosophers, sannyasis. Why he sent him there, that was a mystery that would unfold as the Lord's Leela proceeded. As the humble servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tapan Mishra made his residence in Varanasi, feeling great pangs of separation for many years. Lord Chaitanya returned to Navadvip, established a Sankirtan movement at the house of Srivas Thakur. After some time, with the provocation of the Chandkazi, he brought the Harinam Sankirtan movement into the streets for the public. With no discrimination, who was fit or who was unfit, he distributed Krishna Prema through Krishna Naam. But to reach finer and finer elements of Maya within the society, at the age of 24, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, made his base in Puri, spent approximately 2 years traveling through South India, then decided to go to Vrindavan. En route to Vrindavan, he stopped in Varanasi. He was taking his bath in the holy river Ganga. Tapan Mishra happened to see him there. Perhaps between 8 and 10 years passed since he had last seen the Lord. In separation, there was only a couple other Vaishnavas in the whole city, and they were being ridiculed almost to the point of persecution because of their Vaishnava faith. Just waiting. Lord Chaitanya promised him he would come. He was waiting year after year. And now he is beholding the beautiful golden form of his Lord. But he did not have his beautiful blackish hairs. He was not dressed with the golden robes of the great Nimai Pandit. Now he was adorned with the shaved head and saffron robes of a sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the homes of and took the prasad of two of his devotees, Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra. At that time, Tapan Mishra had a son. He was a small boy. His name was Raghunath Bhatt. Raghunath Bhatt was Lord Chaitanya's personal servant during his stay in Varanasi. In fact, he would personally wash his vessels. He would wash the plate that Lord Chaitanya would eat from. And he would massage the Lord's lotus feet. And he would sing verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased upon hearing. This was the great joy of Tapan Mishra, that his son was accepted as a personal servant of his beloved Lord. The Lord also came through Varanasi on his way from Vrindavan back to Puri and ultimately made his base in Puri. Raghunath Bhatt gave his heart and soul to the service of the Lord. It was his yearning to serve him. He planned a trip when he was a young man to go to Jagannath Puri to visit the Lord. He was traveling alone. It was at that time that one great devotee, apparently great devotee, named Ramdas, met him. Raghunath Bhatt was carrying his few little belongings in his arms. Ramdas insisted, "Let me carry your belongings on my head." Of course, Raghunath Bhatt would not allow. But this Ramdas was so persistent, that Raghunath Bhatt, just to make him happy, gave him his bags, which he carried on his head.
Ramdas Vishwas,
he would chant the names and glories of Lord Sri Ramchandra day and night. Never stopped. As they walked, as they sat, he was constantly singing the glories of Lord Rama or extolling the pastimes and the teachings of Rama. This brought great satisfaction to Raghunath Bhatt's heart. After many days, they came to Jagannath Puri, where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted Raghunath Bhatt Goswami with such affection. Here was his pure, unalloyed devotee who had taken so much trouble to come all the way walking through from Varanasi to Purushottam Kshetra just to serve the Lord. As far as Ramdas, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not pay any attention to him. The reason was because the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. We often quote a very beautiful statement of Srila Prabhupada in a purport from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherein Srila Prabhupada explains that the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. He does not simply accept what you do or what you speak, but what pleases him or displeases him is your purpose. And he is the only one in all of the universal creation who fully understands your purpose. He understands your purpose more than you understand your purpose. Because he is the Paramatma, the witness from within the heart. Ramdas Vishwas, he made the whole world, whoever he met, think that he was such a great devotee of Ram. No one, even Raghunath Bhatt, it appears, could detect that there was any flaw in his devotion to Sri Ram. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that there was a very critical element of hypocrisy within his devotion. In his heart of hearts, his secret desire was that he was chanting the names and glories of Ram practically 24 hours a day, every day of the year, because he wanted to merge into the oneness and become Ram. He was an impersonalist. Therefore, he did not really have a service attitude. From Krishna's point of view, a service attitude is with the purpose of being the eternal servant of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada was asked, "What do you hope to get by chanting Hare Krishna all the time?" Now there are many, many impersonalists who chant Hare Krishna. That is the main part of their sadhana. Some I have met. They teach their followers this is the most powerful form. They even teach them this is the Yuga Dharma. There's no other means more powerful than chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to achieve merging into the oneness of Brahman. Going beyond the form, the name, and the attributes of the Lord and entering into his eternal nature. So the purpose that they will give, why do you chant Hare Krishna? For mukti. Then there's no need to chant Hare Krishna. In fact, you can't chant Hare Krishna. You don't have a mouth. Prabhupada said, the purpose we are chanting Hare Krishna is to go on chanting Hare Krishna for all eternity. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ignored Ramdas Vishwas because he did not appreciate the purpose in which he was preaching. Raghunath Bhat Goswami remained a personal servant of the Lord for 8 months. He would recite Srimad Bhagavatam in several different melodies. Each one was so sweet with devotion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart would melt in ecstasy upon hearing him. Raghunath Bhat Goswami also learned to be a master expert cook simply because he wanted to cook for the Lord and the devotees. He put his heart, his soul, into meticulously learning preparations that the Lord would like. Such a small thing as cooking. Generally, in traditional homes, it is the simple wife that remains home and cooks, while the husband is getting all glory, making money, getting reputation, getting fame, getting powers. The wife usually is home cooking. It's a simple service. But when it is done in a spirit of devotion, there is nothing higher. There is nothing higher. Raghunath Bhat Goswami was such a learned scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam, but still, he put so much time and attention into perfecting the skills of cooking just to please Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. And how much he pleased Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. And it wasn't simply the preparations which tasted sweeter than nectar, but it was the purpose in which he cooked for the pleasure of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. Each day, he had the opportunity of massaging the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the conclusion of 8 months, the Lord instructed Raghunath Bhat Goswami, do not marry, remain brahmachari. Srila Prabhupada explains that he saw in Raghunath Bhat Goswami that quality of renunciation. Therefore, he did not want him distracted or disturbed from his one pointed, exclusive focus in the service of the Lord and the renounced order of life. The second instruction he gave Raghunath Bhat was you should return home and serve your parents for the rest of their lives. They are my pure unalloyed devotees, Vaishnav Seva. Raghunath Bhat Goswami returned home. And how he followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Another instruction the Lord gave him was learn Srimad Bhagavatam from a master of the Bhagavat. So he's deeply immersed in the study of Srimad Bhagavat, daily reciting the Bhagavat Purana, chanting the holy names constantly, and rendering loving service to his parents. Years passed, and his father, Tapan Mishra, and beloved mother passed from this world. Their last instruction to their son was, after we depart, return to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and give your life to his service. While chanting the holy names of Lord Gauranga, Tapan Mishra and his wife gave up their life force and returned to the spiritual world. After performing the last rites, Raghunath Bhat Goswami returned to Jagannath Puri. There for 8 months he performed his services, reciting the Srimad Bhagavat, cooking, massaging, and performing all menial services for the Lord and his devotees. It was at that time that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath Bhat to go to Vrindavan to become brothers with Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave him betel nuts that were Mahaprasad of Jagannath to take with him from the Lord's own hand. And the Lord also delivered to Raghunath Bhat Goswami with his own hands a garland of tulsi that was 14 cubits in length. With these gifts that were as precious as life, he commenced on his journey from Puri to Sri Vrindavan Dham. He preserved and worshipped those tulsi leaves and those betel nuts for his whole life. Tadiya. They were the personal paraphernalia that was gifted to him by the Lord's own hands. He lived as one of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan for the remainder of his life. How he gave pleasure to Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhat Goswami came later. How he gave pleasure to Jiva Goswami. For the pleasure of the Goswamis, he would sing Srimad Bhagavatam in various beautiful, beautiful ways with a melodious voice like that of a kokila. He would cook for them, offer it to their deities of Radha Govinda Day, and distribute it. He would dance and he would sing with them. He would discuss the transcendental literatures and give his transcendental realizations and input in the other Goswami's writings. He was so dearly devoted to Sri Rupa Goswami. So dearly devoted. He never wanted anything for himself. He simply wanted to serve and assist his brothers. He was such a wonderful preacher. He had such a soft and pure and compassionate heart that many great persons surrendered their lives to become his disciples. One such person was the Rajman Singh. He was a very, very powerful general under the Emperor Akbar. Under Raghunath Bhat Goswami gave him the order to have built the most magnificent temple in the history of northern India, the temple of Radha Govinda Dev. Not for his own deities, but for the glorification of the very life and soul of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Radha Govinda. Under his direction and command, Radha Govinda Temple was built. Raghunath Bhat Goswami was so deeply committed to serving Rupa Goswami. He arranged for beautiful ornaments to be offered to Radha Govinda Dev. He bought him a beautiful flute, beautiful earrings shaped like sharks. Servant of the servant of the servant was his spirit. Although in his own right, he was one of the greatest, most learned, most empowered personalities that ever walked the face of this earth. His greatest happiness was serving the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada explains in regard to Raghunath Bhat Goswami that he would only talk about Krishna and the glories of the Vaishnavas. Constantly speaking the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. There was simply no other subject that he had any interest in except the glories of the Lord. And because he was tasting the sweet nectar of Hari Katha day and night, the Goswamis would be thrilled in ecstasy to hear Raghunath Bhat Goswami describing the glories of the Lord. Because he had that higher taste, he had such deep love for every Vaishnava. It is recorded in our history books that never once would he ever find any fault with a devotee. He would never criticize a Vaishnava. It was unthinkable to him. There was no such idea in his vocabulary. This was his quality. And even if a Vaishnava was engaged in doing things that were not right, he would not criticize them. He would say, just the fact that he is serving Krishna is all I need to know. He's worshipable to me. That was his consciousness. And it was for that reason that Krishna empowered him to 24 hours a day sing his glories and his holy names. In a village called Krishnapur, in the area of Adi Saptagram, was the birthplace of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is the Prayojana Guru of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Sanatana Goswami is the Sambandha Guru. Sambandha means relationship. Through the worship of Madan Mohan, we lose our attraction from material life. Through the process of gaining deeper and deeper attraction to Krishna, through hearing his glories in the association of devotees, in that attraction for Krishna, we establish our relationship with him as his eternal servant. Abhideya means the process of rendering service to the Lord with very, very deep attachment. Radha Govinda Dev is the Ishtadev of Abhideya, and Rupa Goswami is the Abhideya Guru, who teaches us the line of Vaidhi Bhakti and then Bhava Bhakti, first Sadhana Bhakti, which composes Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Through this process, if we honestly and earnestly follow in the footsteps of the great souls, we enter into the state of Bhava Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti is when we're actually worshiping the Lord with love. And through the guidance of the six Goswamis and the Parampara, we can ultimately come to the level of the ultimate goal, Prayojana, or Prema Bhakti. That is Raghunath Das Goswami, the guru of Prema Bhakti, the ultimate goal, Prayojana. He is such a high position in the lives of all of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His life is an extraordinary history of humility, renunciation, and devotion. Raghunath Das was the son of Govardhan Majumdar, who was the younger brother of Hiranya. The two of them were zamindars, or landowners. They had vast estate. They were so intelligent that they amassed huge sums of wealth. And they were also very sincere devotees. They used much of their wealth to contribute to the Vaishnavas. They were giving much donations to Advaitacharya. They were even giving donations to Jagannath Mishra, Srivas Thakur, and all the devotees. So that they could simply study the scriptures, preach the glories of the Lord, and be immersed in bhakti to help take the burden of their material maintenance or their family maintenance, they would help support them. Very, very sincere devotees. And therefore they were very dear to the great acharyas. Between the two of them, there was only one son, and that was Raghunath. He was the exclusive heir to all of their wealth. And as they were growing older, the only reason they were really living is to just manage the estate in such a way and help it prosper and grow, to give it all to their son. When you start getting old, is there any other real purpose in life but just doing it for your children who will enjoy it in the future? After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, by Nityananda Prabhu's trick, he came to Shantipur. At that time, Raghunath Das came to see Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in Radha Bhav, experiencing the Mahabhav, the supreme love of Srimati Radharani. What was the Lord's expression of prema toward Giriraj Shiva, who he was seeing in the mood of Radharani as the body of Krishna? He presented his own personal Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami and told him exactly how to worship him every day with a tulsi manjari, with a tulsi leaf growing on each side of it, to offer these tulsi manjaris and leaves to Giriraj every day. He showed him how to bathe the Shila and how to worship it with love. He also gave him a garland of gunja, gunja mala, which represents Srimati Radharani. These became the prized possessions of Raghunath's life. It's all he had. It's all he wanted. Of course, he was living such a simple life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Raghunath, he even wanted to help him worship the Govardhan Shila. He told Swarup Damodar Goswami to every day buy very, very costly sweetmeats and give it to Raghunath to offer to Giriraj, which he did. But he would just take the tulsi leaf from the top. He wouldn't even eat the sweets. He would distribute them. Such detachment. In this way, Raghunath Das Goswami personally served Swarup Damodar Goswami and Lord Chaitanya for 16 years continuously. During those 16 years, Lord Chaitanya never left Puri. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended his earthly pastimes, almost immediately, Swarup Damodar Goswami gave up his body as well and left this world. The Vipralamba, the spirit of separation, had become unbearable to Raghunath Das Goswami. His two lords and masters had left the world. He decided to go to Vrindavan and jump from Govardhan Hill to end his life. Upon arriving in Vrindavan, he went for the darshan of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. There he surrendered his life at their feet and told them that I am now going to take my life from Govardhan Hill. No, you are not going to take your life. You have already given it to us, and we want to keep you right here. The three of us will be brothers. Every day you should speak to us the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because you personally witnessed all of his pastimes for 16 years. And you have possession of the notebook of Swarup Damodar Goswami, which is the diary of the Lord's pastimes. So, Raghunath Das Goswami resided in the very divine association of Sri Rupa and Sanatana. And every day, on Rupa and Sanatana's order, he would speak for 3 hours on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, knowing the heart of Raghunath Das, gave him a place on the banks of Radha Kund to do his bhajan. When Raghunath Das first went there, Radha Kund and Shama Kund were in the same exact state that they were when Lord Chaitanya had bathed there. They were just two ponds in a paddy field. It was his very, very deep desire to renovate Radha Kund and Shama Kund, because one of the missions that Lord Chaitanya gave to all of the six Goswamis were to excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes so that they would become pilgrimage places for Vaishnavas. But he was not concerned with collecting money. He was totally absorbed in his bhajan. It is explained in our holy scriptures what the standard of devotion of Raghunath Das Goswami was. He would offer obeisances to Radha and Krishna minimum 1,000 times every day. He would offer his obeisances to Vaishnavas minimum 2,000 times every day. And he would chant the holy names minimum 1,100,000 times every day. But he had this desire in his heart. And for those who have a pure heart, Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham. Sri Radharani, who is Vrindavaneshwari, fulfills the spiritual desires of her devotees. How she does it is a great wonder. There was a very wealthy man who took the long and difficult pilgrimage to Badrik Ashram. In those days, there was no road. Now you can go by bus. But then you had to walk through jungle to get to Badrik Ashram for many days. He brought a large sum of funds to build a brand new temple for the deity of Badrinath. He brought it there to offer. One night when he was sleeping, Badri Vishal appeared to him in a dream and said, "I'm happy with the temple I have. Take your money, go to Vrindavan. On the banks of Radha Kund, you will meet Raghunath Das Goswami. You give all your money to him and help him to renovate Radha Kund and Shyam Kund." So he came and explained the whole story to Raghunath Das. So Raghunath Das made the plans, and this man actually performed the wonderful deed of excavating Shyamakund and Radhakund with bathing ghats and very, very purified waters. Of course, the water is already always purified, but it was the mud taken out and everything. While they were excavating, Raghunath Das oversaw it all, completely immersed as a loving offering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar. When they were excavating Shyamakund, Yudhisthira Maharaj came out in a dream and said, "Myself and Pandavas are living on the banks of Shyamakund in the form of trees." And he revealed which trees they were. "Please do not cut us down. It will disturb our meditation." So it is for this reason that Shyamakund is not square, because it is built around the trees of the Pandavas. After it was excavated, the village people were coming to wash their clothes in Radhakund. And this was hurting the heart of Raghunath Das Goswami. But he could not tell them not to do it, because there was nowhere else around to do it. So he decided to dig a well just beside Shyamakund, where people could do their washing. As they were digging that well, the workers came into a shocking experience. They were drilling and drilling, not drilling, but they were hammering. Hammering and hammering and hammering the rocks to break the rocks. And as they hit one rock, blood poured from the rock. So they ran and told Raghunath Das, who is the Mahant of Radhakund. "Blood is pouring." He came and ran and saw there was blood. He said, "No more, no more." That night, Krishna appeared to him, Giriraj. He said, "My body is Govardhan Hill. And every part of Govardhan is a part of my body. Today, you pushed that chisel into my tongue and made it bleed. Now you take that rock out, which is my tongue, the tongue of Govardhan, and you put it in a temple and worship it." The tongue of Govardhan is still worshipped today in glorification of the incredible relationship of love between Giriraj and Raghunath Das Goswami. There are many stories of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami's life on the banks of Radhakund. He would just sit on the banks of the Kund. He would take his bath in the mornings, in the afternoons, and in the evenings. And the rest of the day he was immersed in chanting the names and meditating on Radha and Krishna. Sanatan Goswami came and he saw tigers just a few feet away from Raghunath drinking the water from Radhakund. Another time he came and he saw Sri Radharani holding her veil to shade him from the midday noon summer sun. So he insisted that Krishna's chasing tigers away from you and Radharani's shading you from the sun. Our bhajan is for the pleasure of Krishna. The standard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Siddhanta is we do not want anything from Krishna. Our life is for Krishna. This is the essential difference between the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and so many other religious sects of the world. People are asking the Lord for so many favors. Give me wealth, give me wife, give me husband, give me children, give me position, give me health, give me mystic powers, give me liberation, free me from my sufferings. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas learn that Krishna already knows what we want. Krishna already knows what we need. Why should we ask? The only question we have is how I could serve you. Not how you will please me, but how will I please you? My life is yours. Prahlad Maharaj, he was given any benediction. He wanted nothing. He said, "My Lord, if I ask you for something, I'm not a devotee. I'm a businessman. I'm doing business with you. Do not tempt me to spoil my devotional spirit by asking something. I'm your servant. How could I serve you? How could I love you?" That's all. That is a Vaishnava. And it was for that reason that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cry in ecstasy hearing the story of Prahlad Maharaj. He would have it read 100 times. Nadanam najanam nasundari kamvitam vajagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti ravaita kitvai. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. I do not want money or women or men or wealth or prestige or even liberation. I only want to serve you, my Lord, birth after birth after birth. So you are accepting service from Radha and Krishna while you're begging for service. Therefore, for your bhajan to really be pure, you must accept a bhajan kutir, which Sanatana Goswami had arranged, made a simple kutir for Raghunath Das Goswami to reside on the banks of Radha Kund. In his ecstasies, Rupa Goswami gave him a beautiful manuscript. It was a book about separation of Radha and Krishna. And when Raghunath Das Goswami read it, he was beside himself, weeping and weeping and weeping, sharing that separation. Radharani is longing and crying out for Krishna. It was too much for him, because he was the maidservant of Srimati Radhika. There was only one thing intolerable in the world for him, is Radharani's feelings of separation from Krishna. So the devotees reported to Rupa Goswami that Raghunath Das, he doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep, he doesn't do, he just cries day and night because of what you wrote. So Rupa Goswami quickly wrote a beautiful book about the glorious festive meeting of Radha and Krishna. And he went all the way to Radha Kund, and Raghunath was there trembling and crying, and he said, "I have a new book for you, but give me the old one. I have to get some corrections." So he took one and gave him the other, and Raghunath read that, and he was laughing and dancing and chanting the holy name. Raghunath Das Goswami lived by such a standard of devotion.
Vatur-nama-shesha-mandala-pati.
Although he was Mandalapati, he was a lord of great wealth and power, he gave it all up. He was just wearing discarded cloth that he would make into a simple kopan. As far as sleeping, he was hearing and chanting and worshiping the Lord 22 and a half hours every day. The most time he could possibly find for sleeping is 1.5 hours. And often he didn't have time. And he was just living all alone at Radha Kund. And he didn't have time. This was the absorption of his sadhana. Two thousand obeisances to Vaishnavas, 1,000 obeisances to Giriraj. Minimum lack of names every day. Constant meditation on the highest rasas. According to Gaura Ganadish Deepika, Raghunath Das Goswami is Ras Manjari. Prabhupada explains, according to others, he is Rati Manjari, and according to others, Tosi Manjari, but they're all the same gopi with different names. This was his mood. The servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. And he offered beautiful prayers in this regard. That Radharani is his Ishtadev. To be the servant of her servants, to help her in her service to Krishna, is his life and his only life. When he would feel separation from Srimati Radharani, he would think that without, in separation of Radharani, Vrindavan looks like a hellish place. Govardhan looks like a big serpent coming to devour me. And I don't even care to see Krishna. My life and soul is only assisting Radharani in her service to Krishna. This was his love. In the sweetness of this love, he actually came to the point where he was only eating a few drops of buttermilk every day. Srila Prabhupada in a purport explains that he became very, very thin, and his body was extremely weak, surviving off a few drops of buttermilk every day. And sometimes he didn't have time for even that. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, when he took the few drops of buttermilk, which may take a second or two, he would condemn himself. Just see. Because of my desire for sense enjoyment, I'm taking so much time away from my service to Krishna just to satisfy my senses. This was the standard of humility. You cannot imitate this. No one could survive on the devotional path imitating this. But we can follow in his footsteps by living a simple life and not eating too much. One day, Raghunath was suffering from a disease in his stomach. And his disciples around him were very much concerned. So they called Vaidya. Actually, they called one of the sons of Ballabhacharya, Mithilesh, who was also an Ayurvedic doctor. Mithilesh. And he came there and he checked pulse and did his meditation and his study and proclaimed to the small assembly of devotees that Raghunath Das Goswami is suffering from indigestion due to overeating. In fact, he ate too much sweet rice today. Now, the devotees were... That was like blasphemy. To say Raghunath Das Goswami is eating too much sweet rice. He hadn't touched a sweet thing to his mouth in decades. Since... But Raghunath Das Goswami smiled. And he said, what he's saying is correct. And he had, at that point, he had to reveal his inner ecstasies to protect the Ayurvedic doctor. He said, in my meditation, I helped prepare sweet rice for Radharani to serve to Krishna. And after they took it, they gave it to me, and Radharani told me that I must eat all of it. So I ate all of it in my meditation. And now it is affecting my stomach. This is Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the very embodiment of serving Vrindavan as the maidservant of Srimati Radharani. This was the spirit of all the six Goswamis. It is considered to be the highest attainment by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. Not to want to become God. Not even to want to become the personal associate of God. But to associate as the servant of Sri Radharani in her service to Lord Sri Giridhari. That is the Gaudiya Vaishnav ultimate ideal. And that was what Raghunath Das Goswami embodied to the highest, most pristine glory. Every day on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, he would speak the story of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life for 3 hours. I've only been speaking for 2 hours. 3 hours every day. That was Raghunath Das Goswami's class. And one of the great souls who attended class every single day with notebook in hand was Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, whose disappearance day it is today also. He writes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita how he was living in a small village in the region of Bengal. And Miniketana Ram Das, a dear associate of Nityananda Prabhu, who was also there at Panihati, he came to visit. He was very playful, always in mood of Gopal. If someone would offer obeisances to him, he would jump on their back and slap them with his flute. Because he was playful, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami did not respect him. He accepted Lord Chaitanya as the Lord, but he did not respect Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, Pujari was doing puja, and Miniketana Ram Das came in, and they didn't show any respect. They didn't even acknowledge him. And he's representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So Miniketana Ram Das understood they're actually offending Nityananda Prabhu by disrespecting his devotee. He laughed. And he left. He laughed and left. But he blessed Krishnadas Kaviraj. Krishnadas Kaviraj chastised his brother. And they had an argument. Vaishnavas argue to defend the Lord and his teachings. He said, I have complete faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Nityananda Prabhu, I don't have faith. This is like the logic of half hen. You know the logic of half hen? A farmer wants to make money. The back half of the hen makes eggs, which is asset. But the front half eats, which is liability. So cut it in half. Throw out the front half. And you only have the back half. But the problem is, if you cut it in half, you have a dead hen. So similarly, trying to accept Lord Chaitanya without Lord Nityananda is impossible. Because one cannot approach Lord Chaitanya without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So he defeated his brother. And Nityananda Prabhu was so happy that that night in a dream he appeared in the beautiful guise of a cowherd boy. And told Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, go to Vrindavan and all your desires will be fulfilled. As soon as he woke up, although he was a very elderly man, he immediately left home without taking anything with him and walked to Vrindavan. And there he became an intimate servant of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. He personally associated with the six Goswamis. They were his life and soul. He accepted Rupa and Raghunath as his gurus. And every day, from his kutir at Radhakund, he would hear the narration of his Guru Maharaj, Raghunath Das Goswami. Some years later, all the assembled Vaishnavas, knowing his scholarship, knowing his pure unalloyed devotion, understanding the depths of his ecstatic love, in his realization, they ordered him to put in writing what he had heard from Raghunath Das Goswami. But at that time, he was very old. He was already in his 90s in age. How?
How could I begin such a monumental historical work when I have rheumatism, my hand is shaking, my eyes are failing, my organs are failing? But it was the devotee's desire. After receiving the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, he went to Vrindavan. And there he went to the principal deities to beg for their blessings. He went to the temple of Sri Madan Mohan. And the Vaishnavas assembled along with him. As he was praying to Sri Madan Mohan for his blessing to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the garland fell from Madan Mohan. Spontaneously, it just fell right from his head, right into the pujari's hands, and the pujari put that garland around the neck of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And all the assembled devotees roared, "Hari Bol." They understood unanimously this was the confirmation. All the Vaishnavas and the deity himself, Madan Mohan, has given blessing. Sitting on the banks of Sri Radha Kund and Sham Kund, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami had written Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the philosophy and especially the final pastimes of the Lord have been revealed to the world. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes no credit for anything he had done. Every chapter he concludes by giving all credit to Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. Such humility. He gives them full credit for everything at the conclusion of every single chapter. And he's continually proclaiming how his whole life is dependent on the mercy that Nityananda Prabhu has bestowed upon him. It was through Nityananda Prabhu's mercy that he attained Vrindavan Dham, Radha Kund and Sham Kund, the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath. It was all by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. He praises Vrindavan Das Thakur as the Vedavyas of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He praises Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, which in those days was named Sri Chaitanya Mangal. So humble. He is the Vedavyas. He has authoritatively given us the divine pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever little he has not put in his book, that is what I am trying to explain. I am just taking the chewed remnants of Vrindavan Das Thakur and whatever little he has left for me, I am presenting to you as Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Kaviraj Goswami declares from the core of his heart that he's lower than a worm in stool, more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. He says, if anyone hears my name, they lose their piety. If anyone speaks my name, they become sinful.
I'm crippled. I'm lame. I cannot walk this path of bhakti. My only hope is the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas to support me. Otherwise, I fall. I am diseased. I am suffering boils due to envy. In this pitiable condition, I take shelter of the Supreme Physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Practically every chapter he begins by explaining his lowly, humble position. And then he ends by explaining, whatever I have said is by the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath, my gurus. This is the standard of the heart of a true Vaishnava. We cannot imitate, but we should know that this is what we should strive for. And this is what we should respect as our highest ideal. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained what a miracle it is. He says, how am I writing this in my old age, in my diseased condition? And he shares with his readers, my conclusion is, I'm not writing it. It is the Lord Himself who is revealing this message to all of you through me. He considered himself simply to be the insignificant instrument. This was his love. On this very, very holy day, we worship these three supremely exalted personalities. It has been revealed by our acharyas their eternal identities in this spiritual world. Raghunath Bhat Goswami is Rag Manjari. Raghunath Das Goswami, Ras Manjari. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Kosturi Manjari. These are the maidservants of the maidservants of Srimati Radharani in her service to Giridhari. Srila Prabhupada, in the mood of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his very old age, translated with transliterations and eloquent purports, presented to the world Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gave us nectar of devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He gave us entrance into the eternal company of these most worshipable personalities. Let us, with all humility, offer our heads at his lotus feet. I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. It is now 11:11. It's a very auspicious time to end the class. It's a very auspicious time to end class.